If you have your Bibles, take them out and turn with me to Romans 1, verses 21 and 22. And I have to say, during worship, I just was really overcome by the Holy Spirit. I want to continue on with this topic. I've been talking about artificial intelligence, but we're at a point, I'm not really talking specifically about artificial intelligence. I'm talking about our response to what's coming from a biblical standpoint. What does God's word say about how we respond in the world that's coming upon us and that's increasing exponentially the speed of it and the power of it? And so what is our response in this new world? I was, as I mentioned, at prom last night with Judy, I was talking to one of the other teachers there, and he said to me several times, "This is not our world anymore," referring to it, this is these young people's world, you know, and they've grown up in this new technology and all this, and that's true. There's no putting the genie back in the bottle. There's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube, folks. It's out, and we're not going to turn this around. And I agree with him in that this is not our world anymore, in that it's these young people. However, it is our responsibility to educate them as to what this means, this world is. And so that's what I've been trying to do the last couple of weeks. Next week, of course, is Mother's Day. But the week after that, I want to bring another message related to this about what the world is going to look like leading up to the rise of the end times and the Antichrist and stuff. And so I think that's really critically important for us, because I'm not sure we really understand. Everybody looks at the final 7 years that we see in Scripture, Daniel's 70th week, those final 7 years of what people sometimes call the tribulation, as being that's the really difficult time. Well, that's not exactly accurate, folks. It's going to get really bad before that happens. And that's why the Antichrist will rise to power, because the world is going to look to him and think that he can solve the things that we're going through. So it's really important to keep that perspective. But what I was really overwhelmed with was the world has no idea what's coming. People have no idea what's coming. Smart, informed, worldly people who are pretty up on, you know, savvy on what's going on, they have no idea what's coming. And that just scares me, and it worries me for them, and what are people's reaction going to be to it when it happens? I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I don't like that. I got a piece of legislation for you. If I ever got elected to Congress, the first thing I would introduce is legislation. You're not allowed to use adjectives. I get so sick of hearing these people talk in these extreme hyperbolic terms, exaggerating everything, you know. So if you're going to talk politics, no adjectives, just the facts. So I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or you know, exaggerate this it really gets me. The world does not know what's coming because they don't understand. If you don't have a biblical perspective, there's just no way to understand what's coming ahead of us. So with that, I've been on this topic with the advent of artificial intelligence. There's so much change that's going to come into the world. Cade said he thinks he could get through college now because if he'd just have this done. I shared with you a video a couple weeks ago of a European Union banker that was faked by a Vladimir Zelensky deep fake, a video. She thought she was talking to Zelensky, and she's given up all this information. They want digital currency and all these kind of things. And it wasn't him. It was artificial intelligence. He was completely duped. And this is becoming more and more of a thing. And that's the world that we're living in. We're going to be propagandized by it. We're going to be controlled by it. And it's a blending of all kinds of things. It's the artificial intelligence. It's the digital currency that they want. It's the idea of everything being put on a chip and controlled that way by these centralized governments. And what does that do to us? There's going to be, they want more and more control over our bodies, over our lives, over our economy, all these things. And these are all things that we see in Scripture, you know, in the end times. And you wonder, as I pointed out, it's like, how could they have known 2,000 years ago when God is giving them Scripture to write? How could they have known these things to write them down when in their world it made no sense at all? It made no sense that you would have some mark on you, some way that you could not buy or sell without it. I mean, that there was nothing in their world or their life's experience that would make you think that that was possible, for that every human being would have to have this mark in order to buy or sell. That wasn't realistic back then, but yet they wrote about it, they knew about it. How could they know that? Unless God obviously was telling them. How could they, you know, how could everybody in the world watch a singular event at one time? How is that? They wrote about it. Everybody in the world is going to look upon these two witnesses. How was that possible? At one time, at the same time. They didn't have video. They didn't even know about electricity. I mean, how could they write about things that they had no idea about, and yet they wrote about them, and now we see that all the technology is in place to see this happen. Right now, one person can hold up a smartphone, and everybody in the world can see what's on that smartphone at the same time. So these are the things. It's coming. Things are in place. This is the world that we're moving into, and these are all the things that we need to consider. We keep thinking about ourselves as Americans and the American companies, and the term fascism, the definition of fascism is government and corporate merger, agreement, partnership, corporate and government partnership. And we see that in our world nowadays. All of our big corporations are in some way cooperating with the government to do things to us that the government by themselves could not do. And we think that some of these companies, they're American companies. Folks, I got news for you. I'm not so sure that there's very many big, purely American companies anymore. They all got their eyes set on China. Why China? Because China has four times the consumers for their product as America does. So they're going to cater to China and all that they're doing before they cater to us, because there's so many more consumers for them. I'm just saying all this to lay out, these are the things we have to understand about the world moving forward. So this is not, for Katie's not in here, this is not a graduation message, as I often would bring. But I will say this, maybe it is. I'm talking about artificial intelligence. Katie, as you go out into the world in the university, there's a lot of artificial intelligence out there. So be warned. So I want to pick up today and go on a little bit more about where we are. How do we respond to all this? How do we respond to this new world? I haven't even opened yet, have I? Let me give you Romans 1:21-23. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks for him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. So I want to preach for a while this morning for the subject, Artificial Intelligence, Part 3. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be accurate in my teaching of it. Lord, open our hearts and minds to understand what you would communicate to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's where we're at. We live in this time where this is obviously being fulfilled, that we are giving up artificial intelligence. As I shared with you, whatever it's been 3 weeks or so ago now, there are people who look to it, who almost as a religion, it is being questioned whether or not artificial intelligence has the ability, or if it even has become now sentient, that it is conscious of its own being, and therefore it may need to have rights, the kind of rights that we deserve as human beings, because if it's conscious of itself, then does it have rights? I mean, this is a created image. okay, that's being described here. They know God, but they don't. We don't glorify God anymore. We are glorifying this something that's made by our own hands. Remember, I go back even into the Old Testament when during the Exodus and Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. What did they do? What did they create? The golden calf with their own hands, something that they made that had the limits of man, human capacity to design it. And then they did what after they created it? They worshiped it. Worshiping the our own creation. And that's what's being described here. And we certainly are seeing that today. And this thing has the power because of its speed. And it can literally access everything that's out there that's made known and is accessible via the internet. It can access all that information and data and knowledge in microseconds. I mean, I don't know if I shared it in here, but I was watching that Jordan Peterson said that he asked, he had a chance to interact with one of these artificial intelligence programs, ChatGPT, and he asked it to write a paper on a particular topic, and he wanted to use wanted it to blend different literary styles to write this paper. He said it produced it in 3 seconds, and it was awesome. It was amazing work. I mean, we can't compete with that kind of speed and computing power, and it's increasing exponentially because every time a human being interacts with it, it learns from that human what humans want and like and expect. And it takes that into its learning process, and it's going to be able to manipulate us. That's a big fear. It's not RoboCop is a concern. I mean, I wouldn't want to face RoboCop, but the bigger concern is the way that we'll be able to manipulate us because of its knowledge, its speed, and its power. So that's where we're at. That's what I see here when I read Romans 1, 21 through 23. So this is what I wanted to remind us. I'm going to highlight a couple things real quick. We are... That thing that I'm talking about is created by us. We are human. It is not. We are the divine creation. We are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26, 27, Genesis 2, 7. They tell us that God created man in his image. And he breathed his divine being into us when he breathed life into mankind. That does not apply to artificial intelligence. You are the being that God cares about, okay? Not ChatGPT. You need to always remember that as you are going to see governments subjugate themselves to the power, the knowledge of artificial intelligence, where they will put it to rule over them. I'm not joking when I say that. People, corporations, governments are going to defer to artificial intelligence to rule over us, to tell us what we should do, how we should live, how we should interact with each other, what is right and permissible and what should not be permitted. That's why you have to remember God created you in his image to rule over this creation. You're really quiet and still. Are you disinterested or am I terrifying you? Well, we don't need it. Well, we don't need it. We were talking just the other day of what it was like to go to great grandma Osi's, and I loved that. She had a pump. Her kitchen sink did not have faucets. It had a pump. I love that. We could live like that. Artificial intelligence could be incredibly helpful. It could be incredibly beneficial. But we all know that if there's people out there who can use it to their advantage, to benefit themselves, whether it be in individuals or governments or whatever, you know they're going to do it. They will do what the machine says. Well, they're creating, as I used the term a week or so ago, they're creating a digital prison. Because the realm of artificial intelligence and technology is going to run everything. And it's going to know everything about you and everything you do. Therefore, it's going to be able to limit your behavior. And you'll have to behave the way they want it to. And this is very much as what is described in the idea of the mark of the beast, that you cannot buy, sell, or trade without it. They're going to control your behavior. Maybe this would be a good time to, I got a video here, just to kind of reset our minds to what I'm talking about. And this is not purely artificial intelligence, but it ties in with artificial intelligence, the digital currency, the all of our data being digitized and all that kind of thing. So this is just a real short thing to kind of reset our minds of what I'm talking about.
This chip is a powerhouse. It's got everything I need. My credit card, my ID, my medical info, and even my keys. And when it's time for groceries, you just tap your wrist and bam! Transaction done. It's like magic. In a medical emergency, it can save my life. Experts can easily identify me and my medical history. I feel like a sci-fi character and I'm loving it. This amazing chip is totally free. That's right, no more digging into your pocket. And the best part? Surgery is quick. They'll give you a cookie afterwards. This chip is...
First of all, do not take advice from anybody wearing green puffy parachute pants. This chip is out now. It is being given out free in Australia. So I had two thoughts when I first saw this. My eternal soul is worth more than a cookie. And two, I do not need to incentivize somebody to chop off my hand so that they can steal my bank account. Hello? Because if they get that chip, they got everything about you. Pardon me? They're all going to be forced into one system. You guys are going to have me all over the place here now. We just saw last week First Republic crash, went under. Second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. They are causing these collapses. They want this to happen. We are going to get down to where we have three or four centralized banks, and they're all Fed Reserve banks. At that point, they can implement digital currency, central bank digital currency. And at that point, you're going to have no choice. What are you going to do? And so they got you. This is the digital prison I'm talking about. Everything she said, you don't even need your keys because that chip will tell whatever it's talking to digitally that it's really you. It'll know your, like HKG, your biorhythm. It is distinct. So it will know it's you. You'll pick up your phone, your iPhone. You know how you have to, it used to be you had to type in a code. And then it went to face recognition. Well, now you'll just pick it up, and it will turn on for you. It'll unlock for you because it will know it's you holding it because of the chip and your biorhythm, EKG, and all that kind of stuff. Everything is going to be that way. Everything is going to be digitized. They're going to know where you are all the time. They're going to know everything you do. They're going to know everything you spend money on. They'll turn your money on. They'll turn your money off. They'll say, no, you can't go buy a gun. You want to talk about fascism? Fascism is defined as the government and corporations in partnership. We already have credit card companies who will not process the purchase of a firearm. That is fascism. Government and corporate partnership to limit your behavior, your freedoms. We're almost in a digital prison already. Even though we're not using central bank digital currency, they already know everything that we do. I mean, I do it. I use it. I run everything through my credit card because I get cash back on my credit card. If I use it and I pay it off every month. So all that, when they do that, you're smart. You're smart. Does anybody have a smart refrigerator? Smart refrigerators exist. You can, because of your credit card, if you pay for groceries for your credit card, It knows what you bought. And it will know, like, for example, that you buy orange juice every 2 weeks because it shows up on your credit card. Your smart refrigerator, you can check on it. You can be at the store and pull it up on your phone. It'll tell you, hey, you need orange juice because I know you buy orange juice every 2 weeks because of your credit card. This is the world that we live in. I don't want my wife to know everything I do. I sure as heck don't want the government to know everything I do, all right? I'm sorry, honey. Just because I say I don't want her to doesn't mean she doesn't. Anyways, that's what we're looking at. That's not in the future, folks. That's now. And this is increasing exponentially. All right? Since we're on the topic, every federal agency out there is getting hundreds of millions of dollars spent to arm them. Farmers, agricultural agents, some of them now carry firearms. The IRS has spent hundreds of millions of dollars with these new agents. They're not doing this so they can come and audit you, folks. This is so that when digital currency comes, you will comply. That's my opinion. I can't think of anything else for it. They do not need 80,000 new agents armed to the teeth to conduct audits. Yeah, we're getting banned from YouTube today. I mentioned they want to take away, the AI is going to do away with a lot of jobs. Yuval Harari, second in command for the World Economic Forum, says 300 million jobs will be eliminated by 2030. Folks, that's not good. I showed you the clip of him saying, well, how are you going to deal with all those people? Oh, we're going to keep them drugged and give them video games. Remember that video I showed you? I'm not making that up. You saw him say it. Work is good. We need work. It gives us purpose. The curse that man suffered when they sinned was not work. God cursed the ground. He didn't curse the work. When it said God created the world, it says that he rested from his work. Work is good. He put man, Adam and Eve, prior to sin, he put him in the garden to work the garden and to have dominion over it. We are setting ourselves up to be under dominion rather than to be in dominion. I have so much here. I have no idea how I'm going to. This is what I got into the last time I dealt with this. So I gotta skip a lot. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I'm not going to get through this today, even with all the two pages I just skipped. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So these are things that the world does not understand, but that we really cannot afford to forget. We belong to God. We are his children. We do not belong to the powers of this world. I don't care what kind of digital prison they want to put us in and what behaviors they want to force us into and what they want to make us comply with. We belong to God. I will be a father to you. That's God speaking. Not the government, not artificial intelligence, not your corporate overlords, none of that. God is our father. You can never forget that. You will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The world is going to tell you different. You cannot sacrifice that. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Well, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I think I answer to him, not to the government and not to artificial intelligence or to anybody else. If I'm going to stand before the creator of the universe and be judged by him, then I better be concerned about what he thinks and what he says. Regardless, life, we are coming up, folks. We are going to be in a hard time. Now, Maybe things turn around. Maybe in 2024, there's this huge conservative wave of elections and we get back to some semblance of sanity. Maybe. But I have to tell you, I have very little faith in elections these days. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. So if we continue on this path, we are not in the tribulation yet. We're not in Daniel's 70th week. We know that the temple has to be built. There has to be priesthood offering sacrifices. The Antichrist, it says, will set himself up in the temple of God, which now does not exist. There is none. And he will put an end to sacrifices. So all those things have to get implemented before they can be shut down by the Antichrist. So we're not there yet, but it's going to get really bad before we get there, because that's why the Antichrist is going to rise to power, because everybody in the world's going, somebody please come and help us from all this insanity in the world. There's going to be conflict and wars and religion. I'm jumping ahead, but we'll get to it here week after next. Religion is going to be viewed as a main problem in the world, causing all these problems. Okay? God is government's number one competitor. Do we understand that? So they are going to want to point out, and this is where artificial intelligence will be really good. It's going to put out propaganda like crazy that religions are the problem, causing all this turmoil and strife and conflict in the world. And so the Antichrist, who is going to be a messianic figure, but he's not the Messiah, he is the anti-Messiah, Antichrist, is going to be viewed as to be the one that can come in and solve all these problems. Okay? So that's, but things are going to have, things, and people will say yes to the Antichrist because we want him to fix the mess that the world has become. So the world is going to be messy. It's going to be messy before we get to the final 7 years. We got that? But we answer to God and God alone. Skipping more. One thing we need to really remember in this, and it's what I said here, that I was just overwhelmed by the fact that the world has no idea what's coming down the pike. We need to understand and realize during that time, we have great opportunity. Even in the midst of all this horrible stuff, you know, and miserable things that we're trying to hold off and prevent from happening, we're going to have opportunity. John 4:35 says, do you not say 4 months until and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. It's going to be a great time for evangelism. It's going to be a great opportunity for all the people that don't understand what's going on and that find themselves being overwhelmed by the events of the day. They're going to go, what in the world is taking place? And we can tell them. We can give them the truth and we can give them hope. That, you know, this is the world that we live in, but you know, God has already got it figured out. He already knows what's going to happen, and he's got an answer for it. It's called Jesus and eternity in a home that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And again, they might have a hard time believing in this God concept, but I would just say to them, oh, really? So there's no God. How did the people 2,000 years ago know that there was going to come a time when you're going to have to get this thing on your hand or on your head and you can't buy or sell with that? How did they know that? But here, you're living in it, right? Guess maybe there was a God or there's a God and he knows what's going to happen. We have an opportunity and it's our responsibility. Matthew 9:37-38 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, and send out the workers into the harvest field. We're it. Ask, Lord, give us opportunity. Show us the harvest that you want to bring in so that we can go and that we can do the harvest. We can bring people into the kingdom. We are who he's going to use. Let me jump down to 1 John 2:18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. So we see that in this last time, There's going to be an Antichrist. He's going to come. It's going to be a great time of harvest. And again, we're told we don't know the day and the hour when Christ is coming back again. We're not going to know the definite day, you know, day and hour of some of these events. But we do know the season. I read back in John 4:35, we say 4 more months and then the harvest. We know about seasons. We're expected to be able to recognize what season we're in. We may not know the exact day, but we understand the season we're in. What I'm trying to share with us now is, do we understand what season we are in? I don't know that I could make it much clearer than I've made it this morning. We're in a season that is leading up to, unless, again, God could come and he could do bring a great revival and we could have another 1,000 years. We could have another millennia. I don't know. But right now, where I see this progressing, short of that happening, we are in that season. And we need to understand that. We need to live accordingly. We need to not be surprised. When they come against you, when they come maybe after you, you shouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be overwhelmed. God is your Father. You will answer to him and him alone. And there's nothing that they can do to us, even in our physical bodies, that is going to change the truth of what God has for us, which is eternity with him. As I've said before many times to you in the past, this world that we live in that seems so real to us is not real. It is a virtual reality. Our 5 senses tell us it's real, but the spiritual realm is the real world because it's eternal. This world is ending. The spiritual world has always been and always will be, and that's where we are supposed to have our faith and our hope and our life. And so no matter what they do to these physical bodies, that's the reality that we have to understand and that we have to live in. Second John 7 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world, and any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. If they deny Jesus has come into the world as the Lord and Savior, then they are a part of the spirit of the Antichrist. I'm actually going to try to wrap all this up so I can go on the next time. So I'm trying to pick and choose here. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. He's speaking of the Antichrist, also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. Now, we just saw the whole idea of the chip. I'm not going to stand here and tell you like that kind of thing is the actual mark of the beast, all right? But for the first time, I see that we have now the ability to do what Revelation 13, 16, and 17 says. This could have never happened before this time period. Do you understand that? To where they could have kept you from buying and selling? I mean, you had cash. You just used it. We now have the technology to make this come to pass. So I don't know that is the actual mark of the beast, but we're setting it up. They're moving in that direction. And when it comes, we'll be able to do this, to fulfill this prophecy. So again, we're not in that time yet, but we're headed that direction. I have seen some places where you see different things. I've seen it, you know, the chip in here in the hand, some in the wrist, some, you know, behind the ear. So this talks about a mark being on the hand and on the forehead. I saw one the other day. I watched. It's a like they called it a pill that you swallow. And with that you have a mark on you like a tattoo. So now I'm thinking, oh, well, that sounds more like the mark of the beast, where you actually have a mark, and it's distinct to you. So you can have your own design, I guess. So now I guess it's the right hand. So now I'm thinking, okay, all these things are headed in that. They're talking about these things that we're reading about in the Bible, whether they've actually implemented them or not yet. And you swallow this thing, and you basically become this big, your whole body becomes, you know, an electric, I don't know, antenna, machine, information giver, whatever, because you've swallowed this pill. Don't ask me how you keep from passing it. I'm assuming it has to embed itself in you or something, but it has something. But it ties to this mark that you'll get on you that has almost like embedded electrodes and stuff, you know, so it'll be able to do this thing. Again, this is where we're at. The verse just prior to what I read, Revelation 13, 16, and 17, is verse 15 says, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image of to be killed. That's the verse before about getting, you know, the mark of the beast. So we might be. What do I mean? I've been trying to avoid this statement. I've been trying to hopefully that you would understand this on your own. But since you said it, what am I saying in all this? If you want to be faithful to the Lord, you might have to surrender your life. Because I'm not selling my soul for a cookie. And I'm not giving you a reason to chop my hand off to get my bank account. And I'm not going to take the mark of the beast because I know what that means. And the Antichrist will be given power by Satan to have those who will not bow down and worship him. Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar, right? All these things we have it repeated throughout history to be killed. Now, you live in Van Wert County, Ohio. You're not going to be high on the priority list as if you lived in New York or San Francisco or Chicago. I said last week, or prepare accordingly. I mean, that's a great question. I really don't know what to do about the central bank digital currency. I really don't know how to, I don't have any good answer about it other than that. Buy things you can barter with, stock up on certain staples that you need. You know, at the Bevington household, I have chickens for the first time in my life and I'm planting a garden. I'll leave it at that as to what my preparation is. I've asked the church council, and I've asked our denominational leadership, and I've asked Christian financial advisors, and nobody has the answer for me. How do we do business as a church when we may be forced to change everything to central bank digital currency? Because essentially you're taking the mark of the beast. How does a church conduct business using the mark of the beast? We could go get all of, I don't think if we went and said we want all of our money in cash, they're not going to give it to us. And I don't know would it be worth? I don't have the answer to that. You know what? I hate to say it, but the answer is either you're going to die of old age before this happens, or you may die because it happens, or you'll be raptured. We've talked about the rapture before. I believe the rapture is going to occur between the opening of the sixth and the seventh seal. So how all that works out, if you manage to function in society until then, you'll be raptured. You'll go in the rapture of the church. Am I the only preacher in America talking about this Sunday? I'll bet there ain't very many of us. Which is, I know there are people who are like, oh, that political stuff, you should stay out of church, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, if I'm not doing this on this subject, I don't know why we're here. Now, my question is, how many of you are going to be here next week? after this week. Huh? If you're a mother, you get a gift. Yes, right, next week. So. If we're not talking about this right now and going on in the world, then I don't know why we're here. Sure. And 2 weeks from now, because next week is Mother's Day, I don't think the mothers want this message next week. But 2 weeks from now, I'm going to talk about that. We will be able to know who, there are things that are going to identify us for us who the Antichrist is. There's certain things that's going to happen to the Antichrist, the things that he'll do, that we will be able to go, oh, that's the Antichrist. So we'll be able to identify him. This is what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. But also, he is also going to deceive many people because of certain behaviors as well. But we shouldn't be deceived. And this is one of the reasons why I say the world just has no idea what's coming. They're going to see things and they're going to think this is a good. Let me wrap this up with a little bit of good news. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan is defeated. He will be defeated. He will be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, there's a time where he's going to be cast out and he's going to be thrown into, he's locked up. And we have a millennial reign. And then he's released for 1,000 years on earth with Christ ruling and reigning on earth. And then he's released from those chains and comes back one final time. And then he's defeated and thrown into the lake of fire forever. End of history. That's the end of history as we know it at that point. All right. So, but Satan is defeated. When it all said and done, and when you're in your mansion in heaven, he is going to be burning eternally in a lake of sulfur. Okay. So, we got that to look forward to. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I had heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the wedding of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We have to keep, I read that to just say we need to keep that in mind, folks. As bad as things may be at some point, that's where it all ends up. That's what we're all headed towards. And that's where our hope needs to be. Can you imagine that, what God has for us? If we endure for his name's sake, we will come to a time when there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, not even the slightest annoyance that you now suffer will be a thing anymore. That's what God has for us. That's what we have to look forward to. And then John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's where I want to leave this. With all that I've said, I know it can be very disheartening and intimidating and even frightening, but God says, I'm telling you this so that you're not unaware and unprepared, and for that, because I've told you and you know it's coming and then you see it happen, what should that tell you? It should tell you, I'm God and I'm in control, and so therefore, have peace. I got this.